Very excited to announce for our first episode of Loyal to the Soil that we have Signature's very own Alex Sinning. He's a leader in the industry, selling over 100 homes a year for 36 years. He does a lot of coaching for agents, going across the country and speaking to brokerages and help training agents. He's also a published author. And his information will actually be all linked down below. Really good guy. I'm glad I had the opportunity to sit down with him, and hope you enjoy. All right, so here today I'm sitting with Alex Sinning, Vice President of Signature International. He's also produced over, or he's been a top producer. He's sold about 100 homes for the past 36 years. Tons of experience and knowledge in real estate. So why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself and how you got started into real estate?
Well, first of all, let's clarify that it's 100 homes per year for 36 years. So it's 3,600 homes, because the people listening here figuring I sold 100 homes in 36
years,
they would
not
be like,
good.
Yeah, you know, this guy's not so good. Why is he on the video? Anyways, originally, I was working in the food business. I never finished high school, and you're really young. I don't know if you ever seen that show called Lifestyle Rich and Famous. There was a guy named Robin Leach, and he used to go around the country and interview people that had lots of money. They had beautiful houses, nice cars, and all that. And I used to watch that show all the time. And what it was, I had this desire to be rich. I had this desire to have a beach house and have this and nice cars and money in the bank and all that. But I was always broke because I never had a good education. And what happened was, I only finished grade 10. And then what it was like, okay, nobody wanted to give me a good job. And I was married. I had a couple of kids. And I had three kids and three jobs just to make ends meet. I lived in an apartment. I drove an old car. I was struggling. And one day I went to a seminar, a real estate seminar. A guy invited me. He says, you should check this out. This could be good for you. So I was like, okay, let me take a look. And there was a guy standing up in this room. There's about 50, 60 people in the room. And with a very strong European accent, he said, you can make lots of money in real estate. And I'm like, what? And, but I listened to him. By the end of the presentation, basically, I got the essence of it. This was 1983, October the 15th. So my anniversary is coming up for 36 years. And he was making in 1983 over $1.5 million in real estate. That's a lot of money today, but that was a huge amount of money 36 mm-hmm. years ago. And I thought to myself, wow, he doesn't look any smarter than me or anything. He had a really strong European accent. He was actually from my country, Hungary. And he only finished grade 9. I thought, I finished grade 10, I'm ahead.
Yeah.
You know? So it was really interesting just having that, that presentation. That night I went home, I woke up my wife and said, honey, we're going to get rich in real estate. She's like, you've been drinking or something? You don't know nothing about real estate. I said, well, people buy and sell houses. You know, maybe we should take a look at it. And we still were living, you know, we just got our first house. And I said, well, we own real estate, so, you know, it's how difficult can it be, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do that. You know, I noticed over the years, a lot of people come into real estate and they think it's easy money. Oh yeah, everybody wants to buy a house. It's like, I was in a restaurant business before. Oh, everybody's got to eat. That's not a good reason to open a restaurant,
yeah.
Right? So I said to my wife, well, we own a house, so we understand a little bit about real estate. She says, listen, honey, the fact that we live in a house doesn't make you a realtor, because if you sat in the garage, you won't turn into a car. Okay,
so,
you know, that's the reality of it. Anyways, I quit my job, and I got into real estate. I figured, well, I'm going to throw myself in, and I'm going to make millions, right? Well, not exactly. For the first 6 months, from October 15, 1983, to May 24th weekend, 1984, I didn't sell a thing. I couldn't sell a thing. I was having difficulties. I worked 12, 14, 16-hour days calling people, talking to people, interviewing people, trying to get them to do business with me. And it just wasn't working. And then in May, in the middle of May, my boss said to me, the reason you can't sell to people because you got a bad attitude. And I thought, well, I don't think so. But what happened was I was not relating to people. Mm-hmm. And he sent me to this seminar, which I had to actually pay for. It was like $500, and that was a lot of money, considering the fact it was half my rent for the next month in June, which I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. Well, actually, I just lied. I did sell one house. It was my own because I couldn't pay the mortgage. Yeah. So it's not like I didn't sell anything. I had to sell. And I sold my new car. Mm-hmm. Okay. I had a nice little car that I bought, making payments on it, and I had to sell it. So it's 1984, and I'm driving a 1973 Ford Mustang. It was two-tone, silver and rust. Okay? So I was really broke. I was really broke. Now he tells me I have to go to the seminar and pay $500. So I thought, okay, I go. What I learned in that seminar, there's a program called the DISC, D-I-S-C, which is personality profiling. It's like, people say it's like a Myers-Briggs or some other personality testing. What I learned there is that based on my personality, no wonder I was having trouble with people because I was too aggressive. I was not focusing on them. I was focusing on me. I was so busy trying to make a commission check that they could smell and feel my desperation. So what I had to do is I had to, once I'm in this training, the trainer said one very crucial thing to me. He says, you heard the expression, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He says, that is wrong because you can't treat people the way that you want to be treated. He says, that's a golden rule, but there's a platinum rule, which is do unto others as you would, that they want it done. In other words, treat people the way they want to be treated. Mm-hmm. So not the way you want to be treated. In other words, sell to people the way they buy, not the way you buy. Mm-hmm. And that was my huge mistake because I was trying. I'm a very quick, aggressive, person. I go and want to buy something, bam. I don't need a lot of talk. Just give it to me. Let me see what the price is. That's not the way most people buy. And I discovered that most people buy based on emotion. Okay? They buy on emotion, not logic. And I'm a logical person. So there it was. I came out of that seminar, and in the next 9 days, I sold 13 properties. It blew me away. But the only difference was nothing changed. And oh, by the way, interest rates back then in 1983-84 were 20%.
Yeah. Outrageous. And I don't know why people are, complain, the interest rates are too high at 5 or 6%.
Are you kidding me? My mortgage interest rate was 17.75% on my house, and people still bought houses. So it's a perspective, Mm-hmm. And it was the worst time to get into real estate. So I sold 13 properties next 9 days, and I realized exactly what to do. I've been using the DISC now for almost 36 years. Mm-hmm. I teach it. I use it. I wrote a book on it. And it's all about understanding others. The best way I can explain it is this. If you speak another language, like I speak Hungarian, mm-hmm. So you don't speak Hungarian.
Nope.
But if I said something to you in Hungarian, okay, you wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. It's kind of like that, okay? When I was speaking, because I'm more of a D, I was speaking D to an I or an S, they didn't understand. It was like a different language. And once you can connect with people at their level, everything works. And that's why I proceeded to sell an average of 100 homes a year for 36 years, because I followed the principle of doing unto others as they want it done, not the way I want it done. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense?
Yeah. With that DISC assessment, like you said, there's only a small fraction of the populations that are Ds.
Oh, yeah, 10%.
S and Is, right?
Yeah. So when you look at the DISC, okay, it has two sides. It has, first of all, it has outgoing, and then it has reserved. And then it has task-oriented, in other words, facts and details. And on the right side, there's people-oriented. And if you look at the Ds and the Cs, they're task-oriented. They're more factual and detail. About 35% of the population makes decisions based on those numbers. The other side, 65% are the Is and the Ss, and they make decisions based on feelings and emotions and people, and they're not logical at all. Mm-hmm. They make decisions based on relationship. I will buy from you if I like you. Mm-hmm. What I try to do with people is I try to give them the facts, but they didn't want the facts. They want to feel like I really cared.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact was, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I did. They could feel that all I was interested in is a commission check. It took me a while to shift out of that because, and you know, I'm not proud of it, but that's where I was as a person. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way I was raised. And I was like, it's me, me, me. It's all about me. The moment you can add more value, I was at a training just recently. John Maxwell, a fantastic individual and a speaker, I read most of his books. He said that money follows value. Okay, he said you invest in people. Something he said this morning, I was listening to it while I was riding the bicycle. He said something to the effect that if you grow people, everything grows. You know, mm-hmm. if you invest in people. Jim Rohn said, you know, if you build up sales, sales will fall down. If you build up sales, sales will fall down. But if you build up the people, the sales will stay up because the people will make sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's a hard lesson. It's a very hard lesson. And you know what it is? It's looking in the mirror and you go, yeah, well, I'm okay. But saying, no, I'm not okay. You know, he was saying it this morning, John Maxwell. He says, never stop learning. Just mm-hmm. continually be a sponge.
Exactly.
And that makes the big difference.
Yeah. I like that a lot. And back to what you said, like you said in the beginning, you know, people get their license and think, oh, the deals are going to start rolling in. And I think the majority of, you know, people get into real estate just are focused on the commission check, not helping and building and creating value for these.
Yeah. There was a guy, he is still around. His name is Bob Proctor. And I knew him like 45 years ago, I first met him, and he was a speaker, but he was not very famous at that time. He was going around doing his spiels and all that. What was interesting about him, though, is he had a cassette tape program. Now, cassette tape is this little thing that you slide.
Yeah.
It's today, not even DVDs or CDs. We download everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so I bought his cassette program, and it was called Mission in Commission. It was really interesting because when I started listening to that, he was talking about your mission, your why. He was talking about people and how, you know, people, you know, really don't care how much you know until they know that you care and mm-hmm. all that. And it was foreign to me. But then when I listened to it, then he was basically saying, if you have a mission to help and guide people, what will happen is the commissions come automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment I took my foot off the gas and I took my focus off the money, you know, I don't worry about the money. And people say, well, you don't worry about money because you have some money. No. The reason I have money is because I didn't worry about it.
Exactly.
You see the difference? People say, well, you got some money and we're here in Costa Rica at our beach house, you know, and you know, I have my properties paid for. I own several properties. And people go, well, that's the reason. No. I had to take my focus on me making money, and then, you know, it just, that's just the way it was, you know? So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, and you can refer back to the fact that you didn't always have these things. Like when you got into real estate, you, like you said, you were broke. It's not like you came from some other industry rolling in dough, and then you come in and you had no worries about commission.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's that's the thing, you know, it's understanding, you know, what it's about. It's people want a home, you know, people don't just want to buy a house, you know. If you can show them how they can own a home, everything will work, you mm-hmm. know. But if you don't show that to them, nothing works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, painting the picture and selling the emotional side, because like you said, a small fraction of the population actually looks at it from a logical perspective.
Right. You know, and if you do that, and if you teach people about that, like that's one of the biggest problems with the real estate people, is that they don't understand about, you know, that it's not about them.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Jim Rohn said to me, you know, I met him, he actually coached me, and then I met Robert Kiyosaki, and all of these people said, you know what, here's the way it is. If you take you out of the equation, everything works,
because
you focus on people.
Like,
you know what I mean? So.
And that's just stood the test of time as well, because you've been in the industry 36 years, and obviously things have, you know, rapidly changed with the introduction and technology and how it's integrated itself into the business. But if you just stick with that model, it's proven success even over the changes, yeah. Right?
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just, you know, it works really, really well, you know, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you, is there any other things you've done to kind of keep up with the integration of technology into the industry?
Well, you know, one of the problems in the business is that everybody's into technology. Everybody's into, you know, just, oh my gosh, you know, I got the new fangled thing. There's a new gadget. There's a shiny thing over there and all that. And what happens is they get distracted. Back in the old days when I sold real estate, we did everything by paper. We didn't have fax machines when I started in real estate. And then the fax machines came out and a little bit of technology that was always changing. Computers were not a big thing. There was no internet. You know, I mean, I remember as an agent, I had carried a camera. I carried a lockbox opener. I carried a separate GPS. You know, I mean, I carried a bag of stuff like this to get things done. Today, it's this.
Exactly.
Okay? even some of the people know there's that show on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And, you know, one of the things that the guy could do if he couldn't remember the answer is call a friend, right? You know, it's like, you know, who was the president of the 23rd president of the United States? They had to call a friend, they had to talk to him, and then they thought about it. Right now, my internet is not working on the phone here. But if I said to the phone to give me that information, it would give it to me in 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I'm carrying a camera, I'm carrying a computer here, I'm carrying a GPS, a lockbox opener. I've got everything here, and I can do a transaction. We're sitting at the beach here. Mm-hmm. Guess what? I can take this gadget now. I can do an offer on it. I can send the offer off, okay? Hey, there's noise out there. So, yeah. There's a bunch of noisy people back there. Get back to work. That's my D side coming out,
yeah,
okay?
Exactly. Yeah.
But isn't that amazing? Technology. So if there is one really important advice I can give to agents is this. Stop getting caught up in all this technology. You don't need a new iPad and an iPhone and a newfangled something. Go call somebody. Mm-hmm. Talk. This is a people business. People say, well, we're in the real estate business. No, we're not. We're in the people business. Product happens to be real estate. So what we need to do is I use this to make me better, to make my job easier, to make it quicker, to give me more personal time. You know what I mean? So that's the reason I'm using it, you know? So, yeah.
And the funny thing is agents will get the newest phone, get all the latest technology, but they won't use it for its primary focus to make those calls.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, they text and then, you know, they get caught up in all that kind of stuff. So, for me, it's really important to embrace the technology. And what I do is I pick certain things. Okay, I pick this over here and utilize that. And then what the heck was that?
Oh, tiger.
that was like a bear, a tiger.
Something. Something fell off the roof into the bushes. It might have been an iguana or something.
Yeah. You know what? It was interesting is, you know, now you say that. Last night, I'm in the bathroom taking a shower, and I heard this thing on the roof, and it's like, and you could hear them drag their tail. It was a big, giant iguana, you know? It's really cool. We're in the jungle here. We got monkeys that go around the back over here, and it's peaceful. It's beautiful. I actually wrote a couple of my books here.
Really?
Yeah.
So actually, yeah, do you want to touch on this? Because you've been here and seen this little subdivision of these villas grow over the past 15 years.
Well, I came here in 2004, just before Christmas. So this is my 15th year. Mm-hmm. And basically what happened is I came here before Christmas and the guy had two houses. And this is a 200-acre subdivision with two houses. So what it is... you know, I thought, well, this is a cool place. I'll buy a house. So I built house number 3. Now we have 33. Mm-hmm. We just kept building and building and building, and the subdivision expanded. We got a restaurant on the beach. We have all these different things. So it's really, really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. We're actually thinking about getting Lars onto the podcast to talk more about the development and stuff down here because it's really cool.
Oh, that would be fantastic because he's been here. Well, he came about 2 years before me. And there was an old beach house When he bought this 200 acres, it was an old beach house. And he bought that, and he lived down there. He had no AC on it, had old windows, the roof was leaking. It was just, and he had a vision of building a subdivision. And then he started, and he started house number one and then two. I mean, we're in 16 right now, but we have actually 33 houses that has been built. So it's pretty amazing how this whole thing expanded. Yeah.
Exactly. It's awesome. And that's been, probably been pretty cool to be a part of too, seeing that grow.
Yeah.
But I do want to switch gears and kind of focus on, because we were talking about the technology and the integration and stuff. What do you think will always be a good tool of prospecting? Because I noticed a lot of agents are like, you know, the cold calling, the door knocking, all that stuff's outdated. They'd rather, you know, focus on the technological side of it.
Okay, so let me put it this way. It's not outdated. Because, okay, so I buy internet needs. I used to buy. I don't buy them anymore because, you know, I read a statistic last year. And somebody came in and talking about, you know, internet leads and qualifying and all that kind of stuff. And they had some ridiculous statistics, something like, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but there was like 5 million sales in the United States, across the United States, 5 million sales, okay? That was like 6-7 years ago. There was internet leads, there was maybe, you know, 10 million internet leads. Last year, there was 5 million sales in the United States. But there was 300 million leads came through. We had the same amount of sales, but what's happening is there's more and more people search online. They go on different websites, and these companies capitalize on that and they sell us back these leads. But we're not going to do any more business because there's only so many people will move every year. Okay, that's just a fact of life. Okay, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I've been in this business, the upmarket, the downmarket. The difference between the upmarket and the downmarket has been very small. Because even at the worst of times, guess what? People had to sell. Mm-hmm. Now people want to sell. You know, when the economy got really, really bad, there's all kinds of foreclosures and all kinds of short sales. It's because they had to get rid of the house. They couldn't afford it anymore. So they had to make a move. Now people have jobs. People have money. They want to upgrade. They want to get a bigger house. They want to move to a different location. They can afford vacation homes. So people are still moving. So it's not that much of a difference. So the business hasn't changed, I would say, in the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that happened, okay, and my phone, I should have shut it off. I apologize. You know what? The only thing that happened is that technology made life easier. I'll give you an example. When I started in real estate, if you wanted to do a CMA, a comparative market analysis, what you had to do is, first of all, you had to go look at the house because there was no computers, there was no MLS. You had to go look at the house. So you looked at the house, then you came back, and what we had kind of like an MLS system, but it wasn't as sophisticated as today. What they used to do is to do the CMA, there's all these books. So like I was in Toronto, Canada, and the books were like W1234567. That section. Then it was C, Central, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Eastern, blah, blah, like that. So if I looked at a house in the area, it was a geographical area that was in W1, I had to go into this little book, I had to flip through it and look for pictures of houses and descriptions that matched what I just saw. Then what I would do is I would take it was called a tear sheet. I would take this little sheet, I would take them out, I put them on photocopy, I photocopy them together, okay, and kind of guesstimate what I thought might be a good idea to sell the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I put that together, then I go back to the house, present it to the seller, and then they, like even today, they would say, no, my house is worth more.
Exactly.
I got heavy-duty nails.
No, my house is special.
Yeah, special. You know, I've got, you know, my kids got married in the backyard. Nobody cares. You know, I got vegetables in the back. I grow tomatoes, you know, who cares? You know, so, yeah, I had a guy one time, he had a chandelier. We were doing an offer on his house. He was an Italian guy, and he brought the chandelier from Italy. And he had to spend $5,000 installing a steel beam so that it wouldn't crash to the ground and all that. Anyways, it cost him $20,000 for the whole deal. And so we did the offer, and he wanted $20,000 back for the chandelier. I just went over to the light switch and I went like this. I turned it on and off. And he goes, what are you doing? I said, I just want to see if it makes espresso coffee. I said, it turns the light on. Go to Home Depot, get me a little chandelier for $150. Take that down. Take it with you. He ended up leaving it. Because there's no way we're going to give you 20 grand. We don't need that much stuff. Mm. And sometimes people overimprove their house. So let me tell you something. Doing CMAs was a chore. Doing offers, you had to go to the people's house. You had to sit with them. You had to have discussions with them. Then they would initial the paperwork. You would take that paperwork. Then you go back to the other agent, give it to him. Then he would go see the customer. Then they would sign and negotiate. Then you would get a phone call. I'd be out sometimes till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning negotiating offers. Back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes by the time you look at the paperwork, there was like a million signatures and initials, and it was a mess. Yeah, and then what you have to do, the listings. You have to actually fill in the listing contract, and it was carbon paper. Carbon paper is this dark paper that...
I'm not that young.
I'm messing with you. But what was interesting is it was like six pages. Uh-huh. So page number one went to the customer. Page number two went to your office. Page number three, you kept. Page number four, you took it down to the real estate board. It wasn't even an MLS board. It was the real estate board. Because they didn't have a computer system mm-hmm. where you looked at stuff. So, I mean, there was so much work involved to get one listing. And then it took them about a week. You know, you had to take the pictures. Then you had to give them the pictures. And back in those days, we had cameras with film in it. So you had to develop the film, take it down. They would put it into the system. I mean, I'm telling you, it was a chore. It was amazing. I actually worked for a company where we used to make these boards, big boards. It was called the property board. And we would have the main picture of the house. And then he had all these little pictures because you have to show people something. Not like today on the internet. I'm driving on the road with my customer showing them houses. He goes, what else is here? I just go to the circle. Boom. All the properties come up. Right? So it's very different. So technology made our life easier. The reason I can sit here and you can sit here at this beach house is because if there's an offer coming in, we can do it right from here.
Exactly.
We can do it on our phone.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing. So to me, what technology did is free up my time. But guess what? Even when I'm buying all these internet leads, you still have to call them.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to call them. You still have to go see expireds. I built my career on expireds and FSBOs. I don't care. Like today, we got Zillow and we got Realtor.com. We've got all these places where people can look stuff up. Here's what I discovered even today is that people want a personal touch.
Yep.
They want the personal interaction. Everybody's talking about these iBuyers. They're talking about, you know, pretty soon people are going to be buying houses, you know, like they buy books online, like from Amazon or all that. Hey, people will always have some newfangled thing. The reality of it is, it's a one-on-one business.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't like you, I'm not going to buy from you.
Exactly.
Okay? And you can't buy something like this house with a bunch of pictures, even videos. I would spend $200-$300 on a video of the property, you know, aerial shots, the drones and everything. If it's not priced right or doesn't show well, it won't sell. I had one in Daytona. I live in Daytona Beach now. This guy wanted to sell his house. He overpriced it about $400,000 on the beach. I had the drone, a beautiful shot coming in, and all the birds were flying. I mean, it was really emotionally beautiful. Never sold it.
Yeah.
He just had, I kept telling him, you got to drop it $400,000 because you're out of the ballpark, stuff around you. But my house is special. Yeah, I get that.
Exactly. Yeah, that. You know? And the cool drone shot and everything is really awesome. Makes it look cool and all that, but it's not going to make up for $400,000.
No. And if the guy, you know, he goes, well, find me a cash buyer. And I said to him, I said, so let me get this straight. You want me to find somebody that's smart enough to accumulate, you know, $1.8 million, because his house was worth about $1.4. I said, $1.8 million, but stupid enough to overpay for your house? Like, that doesn't make sense, does it?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we definitely need to also be educators to our clients, and that's some of the value we can propose because, you know, it's an interesting industry because I don't go to my doctor and, you know, they're like, you know, we ran tests, this come back. I don't think so. You know, I know my body. It's not that.
Yeah, right. Well, I got an MBA now. and I got an M&M, you know, a medical doctor or something. No, it's interesting though, because sometimes people do that. Like, I'd go to a listing appointment, and I had a truck driver that wants to sell his house, and he's trying to tell me how to sell his house. I said, I'll make you a deal. I won't drive your truck. You don't try to do my business. How about that? Is that fair? Because I'm not going to interfere with your business. I know what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And people need to understand that, you know. But really, like you said, it's building value. It's showing them what you can do. It's building that relationship. And it took me a while to get that. I struggled with that. Because even after I went to that training, I would still revert to Alex. And I would get really aggressive. And then I would see people flinch. They would kind of like lean back and lean away from me. And, you know, so I started studying body language. I was looking at people. Mm-hmm. I was listening to their words. I was listening to the tonality, how fast they talked and how loud they talked. And did they move their hands? I was watching them, and I'm like, okay, this guy needs this, this guy needs this, this guy needs that, you know? And I was able to adjust, mm-hmm. and that's what it is. And, you know, no technology will ever do that for you.
Exactly.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It's the human touch. It's going in there. It's asking the right questions. I don't know if you've had it. I know you've been in real estate for a couple of years now, but, you know, I've had it many times where people would actually say, I'm not selling it to the buyer, that buyer, even if they pay me more than it's worth, because I don't like them. I've had that happen, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
They just made them mad. Like, sometimes buyers want to lowball a house, an offer, and I tell them, don't lowball the offer. You're going to make them mad. No, you know, they should pay attention, blah, blah, blah. Okay, good luck with that. And sure enough, the people goes, this is an insult. And I go back with a better offer. They say, we're not even going to look at it. Is this the same people? Yep. Okay, forget them.
Mm-hmm. I actually had a deal almost fall apart because my buyers were trying to strong arm the sellers, and then the deal fell apart. Then the buyers realized, you know, that's on us, our fault. You know, we could have even gotten $4,000 extra for repairs, but then we had to go back and repair the deal, and they lost $4,000 in repairs because they wanted to strong arm the seller, and the seller,
yep.
You know, it almost completely just killed the deal.
Oh, I had a couple of deals where, you know, over a lawnmower, like, I'll buy you a lawnmower, you know, what is it, $300? I'll buy you a stupid lawnmower, you know, mm-hmm. But sometimes people get stuck in it, and it's that personality thing. It's understanding human nature. So sure, there could be all these newfangled things. Listen, when I prospect, I use technology. There's a thing that's called SlideDial. You know, there's a thing that, you know, Vulcan 7. There is some of these, and there's lots of these. I'm not promoting these. It's just different things I use. There's a thing called LandVoice, where every morning they send me FSBOs and expireds with new numbers and everything. So technology helps me to be more efficient. I wear a headset when I prospect. I plug it into the computer, and I can just go and bam, bam, bam. I used to contact 8 to 10 people an hour. Now I can contact 30 people an hour because the machine dials it for me.
Uh-huh.
Technology can be utilized to make your life easier and better. You know, like this. I remember the first cell phone. It wasn't a cell phone. It was called a mobile phone. And it was this big suitcase you put in the trunk of your car. Yeah, you ever seen one of those?
I haven't.
I tell you, the very first one, I paid $3,000 for it because I wanted to be cool. Okay, and it's the size of a suitcase. They put it in the trunk. There was an antenna on the car, and it was a handheld thing, and it was wired. So it wasn't like you could step out of the car, you know. Mm-hmm. And reception was horrible, but I had one. I was cool, you know. I was driving around. I got a cell phone. I got a mobile phone, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why even today it's still called mobile, right? You know, yep. Yeah. Back and it was just amazing, the technology. Then I had these bricks, okay? Motorola had these bricks. They looked like a brick with a big antenna on it. Really heavy-duty thing. Then they made a small. Then they made a flip phone. You know, then there was Blackberries and all these different things. But the way technology changed, this little gadget has more power in it than some of the biggest computers back in my day.
Exactly. It's crazy how far it's come.
Yeah.
But I think that's been a big part of your success, being able to sell, you know, over 100 homes every year, is being able to adapt to everything that's coming. And then you also educate yourself. You know, you didn't just first couple of years when you started really producing, you didn't say, okay, here's a formula. I know everything in the world. You still were, like you said earlier, a sponge, getting as much knowledge as you could.
Yeah. Listen, I, you know, I, I went to a training in California, learned some great principles, and then from there, 2 days later, I was in another training with John Maxwell for the weekend that I paid almost $3,000 for to learn more. And people go, well, you already know. You've been in business so long. Don't you know everything? Are you kidding me? The world is changing at such a rapid pace. As a matter of fact, a lot of large corporations, Apple, you know, Netflix, Bank of America, a lot of these huge corporations, Google, they no longer require a four-year college degree to get a job there. The reason is because by the time you finish the four-year college degree, they're toast. It's useless. Like a computer science degree after 3 years, the computers don't even look the same. You know, we actually, a friend of mine and I, we started a company called Risepreneur, where we're teaching 13 to 19-year-old kids as they're coming out of high school, instead of going to college, learn entrepreneurship. So we teach entrepreneurship. Okay, be your own boss, you know, as opposed to working for somebody, create something great. And it's fantastic, you know.
I think that's really awesome. I think that's an awesome idea because it shows that there's another path, you know, because kids our age are just grown to think, okay, go to school. Okay, you got to get into college and you need to go to college. Okay, and then you need to go get your graduate degree. And then what, you're $250,000, $500,000 in debt? Can't find a job, you know, there's other opportunities and alleys out there. So I really like that idea.
I'm telling you, it's just when I look at that, you know, my wife is a chemist. She went to college, 4 years of college, became a chemist and all that. She's not doing that. She's a real estate broker. We work together. We have our own company. Okay. Her daughter went into medical. She had everything paid for. You know, she had all the school paid for everything to go to college. She's studying medicine. After 2 years, she goes, this is no good. I don't like this. She switched to a business major. She's studying that. And then the professors that are teaching her never ran a business. and she sees me and her mom, okay? She's like, wait a minute. You guys are traveling the world. You guys got money in the bank. You guys don't worry about, you know, where your next meal is going to come from, or paying for a car, or paying for insurance and all this kind of stuff. But and you're in real estate. Now she's getting a real estate license. It's interesting. And she's 22. See, I have four kids. And, you know, my oldest daughter, who just turned 45, she's been in real estate for 22 years. I trained her right away. She went to college for like one semester. And then same thing. Well, Dad, I want to learn about business. You've been watching me make a bunch of money. You've been watching me build businesses. And you're going to school to learn from a guy that never ran a business. Like, how smart is that? I want to learn how to fly an airplane. I'm going to learn from a guy that flown one so I can come back alive. You know?
Exactly. I think it's funny, too, because at my college I went to, there was a professor. I'm not going to go into too much detail. But it's a professor that runs business, and he acts like, you know, a hard ass, and like he knows everything about business. It's like, you're just a college coach, and you teach a business class. Like, you've never ran any businesses in your life. Just because you know and you see everything, and even if you read a couple of books, it doesn't. You learn from practical experience.
It was degree, like the one that my daughter Michelle went to. She, you know, the professor was like, well, I got 3 degrees from 3 different colleges. Big deal. Okay.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, I'm going to learn, you know, how to fly an airplane from a book. Good luck with that. Okay. Or somebody teaching you that never flown one. It's really, really important that, and we teach kids, we mentor kids, you know, and I speak at the schools. What's really ironic about it is that I speak at some of the local universities. I've spoken at several universities, and they invite me in for their entrepreneurship program. Even though I'm kind of competing with them, because I'm telling kids you don't need a college education. But here's the way we talk about it. We say, look, if you want to go to college, you go to college, but you can still learn our stuff because you're going to teach you entrepreneurship. So when you hit a certain point in your life where you say, well, maybe the job isn't it, then you have some ideas on what it takes to be an entrepreneur. If you don't want to go to college or you can't afford to, I could never afford to go to college. That's why I quit in school. What am I going to do? There's no way I can continue. Is you learn entrepreneurship. I taught all of my kids, like I have four, 3 of them own their own business. They all own their own business. They all determine their own fate. That's the beauty about real estate. What I love about it is you drive down the street, there is millions of dollars worth of inventory and you don't have to pay a dime for it. And they're willing to share a piece of it with you. So I drive down the street, I'm looking at the houses, I'm going like, okay, 94% his, 6% mine. 94% his, 6% mine. There's a $2 million house. I own 6% of that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so funny when you really think about it. I had a couple of restaurants. I had to buy the food, I had to prepare the food, and I had to wait for customers to come in. In the real estate business, I don't have to buy the product. Okay, I don't have to wait for anybody because I can go out and get them. Restaurant business, I couldn't drag them in off the street. Okay, I advertised and everything, but I was at the whim of the public. This way I can call FSBOs, I can call expires, I can farm an area. Okay, all of that stuff still works today. So stop going to the newfangled thing. Ooh, we got this new thing. It's the stupidest thing I see is where people camp out. Every time a new iPhone came out, they camped out for
days. Get the tents and everything outside the Walmart or the Apple Store.
I know. Isn't it kind of stupid? Mm-hmm. You know, but that's me. You know, I'm just thinking that's the logical side of me saying, hello.
Yeah.
So I love technology, okay? And, you know, I mean, I'm not as good as, you know, some of the kids today. However, I look at this gadget and I said, okay, what is it that I can do with this that can make my life easier and my customer's life easier? And that's the whole idea, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so with the technology and everything, so we're a part of the same brokerage, Signature Real Estate. You know, you see other brokerages doing like more tech-centered and like other ones that are like more virtual programs and stuff. What do you see the future of brokerages going in the future?
Well, here's the thing, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening now in the real estate business where there's these virtual companies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and everybody said, okay, they're going to take over, we're going to be out of business and everything, and you won't be able to do business because nobody wants to be in an office and all that. The fact is, a lot of people will not go to the office, and if you're in the office all the time, that means you're not doing business because you should be out there.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the reality of it. But what I see is you still need a community, you still need a culture, you still need people that want to interact, collaborate, share ideas, and have a togetherness. People want to belong to something. I've seen some of these internet real estate companies, and we're actually getting people from these companies coming saying, you know, we never see a broker. It's very difficult to get help. Every time I make a call, they're not going to talk to me. You know, and it's just all of those things that are happening, and they're like, I want people. I want to be able. Like, we're here. This morning, I got a text from my one of my agents. He had a situation. Bam, bam, I solved it for him. You know, he didn't have the right answer correctly, and I just clarified it for him. He's like, okay, cool, thanks.
Yeah. That's what I love about the Brokers Rat is it's such a tight-knit community, and we've established that. And I can go to anyone in the office and ask questions and ask for help.
Yeah.
And nobody's too good or doesn't have the time. Everybody makes the time to help each other succeed.
Yeah. And that's what it is. Because if you go back to the disc, people are people. They're emotional. It's all about relationship. The fact. A lot of times people will make an emotional decision to buy something and they'll justify it by facts.
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife sometimes, you know, she'll say, oh, you know, honey, I saved 30%. That's the reason I bought it. But then she continues to say, well, you know, it was just a right color. And I, you know, and I'm like, okay. It was so cute, you know. But that's what people do. So we just need to be aware and never stop learning, okay? It's like people think I finished school. Okay, I did my learning years. Now I got to go earn money. No, never stop. Continue constantly. I spend, I would say, $4,000 or $5,000, maybe $6,000 a year on education every single year. I invest in me all the time because the world is changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, think about it. If everything is moving forward at a high speed and you're not moving with it, at least somewhat, you're standing still. Like some people go, no, I don't need to do that. Well, guess what? The world will pass you by.
Exactly.
You know, it's a bam.
And I heard a really great quote is, nobody stays the same. You either get better each day or you get worse. But nobody just stays the same.
Right.
If you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Yeah. It's like I used to say to people that worked in my company, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Exactly.
You know, if you're not with me, you must be against me. You know, it's just the way it is. And you're right. Growth, the seminar I went to with John Maxwell, he talks about what are you focusing on. I even talked to a couple of brokers about that yesterday. Are you focusing on the goal or growth? Goal versus growth. You can accomplish your goals if you grow. You can now never outperform your personality, who you are. You can never outperform it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Robert Kiyosaki said this to me. He said, Alex, what you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Who you are, you know, is who you are. And you can't outperform, first of all, your own perception of yourself or who you are, because you have a perception of yourself and you set the limitations. And then you can't do any better than the skill level you have. You have a capacity,
mm-hmm.
a certain capacity that what you can do. Like, I always wanted to play basketball, but I'm 5'7". Okay, and a half.
And a half.
I had to throw the half in there. You know, I tried playing basketball. I had to climb up on the pole to throw the ball in. You know, I was never good at that stuff. You know, so I took on different sports. So my capacity was limited on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the agents have to realize, is that understanding what is it that I'm doing? Why am I doing it? What are my goals and desires? Then what is the strategy and the plan? Do I make cold calls? Do I do FSBOs, expires? Do I knock on doors? Do I sit back and spend a ton of money and buy leads and hoping that I can turn them into something? But you still got to call them.
Exactly.
Right? So, you know, it's never like the system isn't going to call it for you and then you get your paycheck, they mail it to you.
Yeah.
So
agents nowadays just want, okay, they don't even want to come in or anything. They just want the broker to just mail their check to
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Okay. So let me get this straight. So what you want me to do is go to your listing appointment, get the listing, bring it here, get a contract on it, ratify the contract, get it closed, and when it closes, just send you a portion of the paycheck. Oh, I understand that. No, this is not the brokerage for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, so, but that's, it's just do the things every day. You know, you got your goals, you got the plan, what the strategy. I'm going to drive from here, you know, to Nicoya, to the town. If I head south, I'll never hit it because it's north from here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so have a plan, have a roadmap, so to speak. Know exactly what you're going to do every day. And then develop the skills. Like, it's easier to deal with buyers than sellers. Sellers have a lot of objections. Buyers, all you have to do is put them in the car and show them some property.
Exactly.
They're almost like accidental. You don't really sell houses to buyers. They buy houses.
Mm-hmm.
You show them the right one. Listen very carefully. I hear it from agents. Buyers are liars. No, you didn't pay attention. Okay? You have to pay attention to what they're asking for. If the buyer tells you something and you end up buying a different house, like if the buyer says, I want a two-story in the east end of town, and they end up buying a one-story in the west end of town, and you go, they lied to me. No, you probably didn't ask the right questions. And if you ask the questions, do you have any schools that you need? Is there a church you're looking for? Is there a certain environment you're looking at? You know what I used to do with my clients? If they want to buy a house in a certain area, they lived in much further away, I would say to them, what I want you to do is I want you to come over here and rent a hotel room for a couple of nights. Drive every morning in the rush hour to your job and see how you like that commute. And a lot of times they would go, wow, I never realized how bad the traffic from here going that way is. Okay? And they wouldn't buy, and they would buy something different. Or, you know, they didn't tell me that they were part of a certain church or something, and then they realized all of a sudden that the church they wanted to go to is over there, not here.
Exactly. And guess who that falls on in the end?
It's you, because exactly. you didn't listen. You have to ask a lot of questions. It's qualifying, it's asking questions, you know, about their kids and what's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a conversation. Like now, I have only one-story houses. I don't have a two-story house because I had knee replacement, and going up the stairs is not the greatest thing for me. So, you know, you're talking to people who are elderly, and they go, oh, you know, we like this house and everything. And then you might say to them, well, let me ask you this question. Do you ever have a problem walking upstairs? They go, well, sometimes it is. It isn't going to get easier.
Exactly. See?
You are going to be aging more. So instead of buying this house and a year or 2 years from now, you call me and say, sell it. Why don't we get the stuff that we plan ahead? And a lot of times people appreciate that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And that's instituting that value, you know? Because not every agent's going to put forth that effort. They're going to listen to reply, not listen to understand.
Yeah. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to try to sell them as quickly as possible, whatever. They're selling for their own interest. They're not selling because of the customer's interest.
Exactly. Chasing the check versus establishing that relationship.
Oh, I'm telling you, that was such a hard lesson for me to learn. You know, I was, my whole style of doing business, my whole attitude had to shift. Everything had to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, and it was difficult because the way you brought up, the way you lived, how you grew up and all of that. And you go, okay, you know, so.
It's good stuff. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. Do you want to tell everybody who's listening the name of your book, how they can get to their site, and you can plug any other information you have, coaching or...
Okay. Well, first of all, if you're interested in the disc, you can get my book. All you have to do is send me an email, alexsinegg@gmail.com, or you can call me or text me. My phone number is 702-334-5570. It's easy to find me. If you type my name into Google, I got about 4,000, you know, websites that my name will be all over it. It's Alex, and the last name is S as in Sam, Z-I-N-E-G-H. Okay, and you can find me. I'm the easiest guy to find, all right, because everybody knows where I am all the time. Yeah, go on the Facebook page, you know, so put in Crazy Hungarian, you'll find me. Okay,
yeah.
And I do trainings across the country, and I'll tell you this, it doesn't matter what company you work for. If you're a broker and you want to build your business and grow your business, you know, contact me and I can talk to you about it. Obviously, for our agents at Signature, I do all of my trainings at no cost to them. However, if you're interested in some really good training and train your people on how to get more business, or, you know, want to learn more about the desk, you can get my book or you can book me in for a training. I also do coaching. I coach brokers. But, you know, whatever you need. You know, I have the luxury of being able to go and do whatever I want. And, you know, that's why we're here in Costa Rica, you know?
Exactly.
And we're chilling out by the pool here and just love it. I'll be here for this week. It was my birthday yesterday. Had a great birthday. We had lots of fun. A few more days and then go back to work. And I'm traveling around the country. Actually, next place I'm going to be this time is in Greenville, South Carolina, next week, 17th of September. So, you know, what you can do is if you're interested, send me a text, call me, email me, and let me know how I can help you. Okay.
And I'll have all of his information linked down below for the video segment. So his link to all his pages, his websites, The Risepreneur, his book, everything will be linked down below. So with that, thank you for being on and we're out.
Thank you so much for your support and watching and liking our videos. Please don't forget to subscribe and also follow our Facebook page, Loyal to the Soil - Podcast. Thank you very much. It's very much appreciated.
All right.